We're Kath and Ellie. Welcome to our podcast, Brave, Strong and Fulfilled.
Join us as we share all things real life and the lessons we've learned along the way. We hope that our conversations inspire, challenge and encourage you on your own life journey. Enjoy today's episode. Hello, Kath. How are you?
Good. Hi, Ellie, and welcome back to another episode of Brave, Strong and Fulfilled.
Yes. Yeah. I'm pleased to be back.
Yes. No, me too, always. Yeah. And on the topic of connection, we've been talking about connection for the past
the last two weeks.
Yeah. And just wanted to say, Al, I'm so grateful to be able to connect with you as we do each week on this podcast. It's been an absolute joy.
Yeah, and it's special, hey?
Yeah, it is special, definitely.
I think it's brought our friendship to a different level too.
For sure, for sure. And thankfully, because yes, if you're listening at all, I am relocating far away soon. And so grateful to know that we'll still be connecting each week to record podcasts. So. Yeah. Still got to work out how to do that.
What the technical side of things, but we know it's possible, right?
Yes, no, absolutely.
And we don't have to know all the details. If there's something I've learned this year, you don't have to know the details. You know where you want to go and put one foot in front of the other, right? And you surround yourself with the right people and you do it when you're scared and it's unfamiliar.
Absolutely. So I love that. Don't wait to have all the details and don't wait to feel like you know what you're doing.
I'm so glad we have permission to not know what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, so. And I can't help but think, so the last 2 weeks we've spoken a lot about connection. We've spoken about connecting, you know, on a lifelong friendship level.
Yep.
And then connecting with everyday strangers.
Yeah.
You know, and the need to connect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of, I think we've briefly touched base about it, that it's one of six core needs that we all have as human beings. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, what a good tool that was. So I think, you know, I think that will be good to unpack today.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Because I think before I knew anything about coaching, I had no idea about these six core needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because they stem from, so from my teaching degree, we spoke a lot about Maslow's, the hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
And I mean, this is sort of grown really from there, hasn't it? And so this is what's now seen as,
well, it's a bit different. I think I think they're different. I see them as sort of different theories. They're both theories, and I think they both carry relevance. And I think the big difference is that Maslow's is a hierarchy, so it's like there are lesser needs and then greater needs, and let me rephrase that, there are baseline needs, and then once those baseline needs are met, can you only meet the next level and the next level, and you go up to sort of altruistic
whereas
needs.
Whereas
this one, you've got these six needs. So this was work from Tony Robbins originally, I think. Please don't quote me on that.
I believe that's correct.
And he, you know, it's a notion, it's a theory that we've got these six needs, and rather than being in a hierarchy, they all occur simultaneously. And they're not the same size, you know, they're not equal in size for everybody.
That's right.
And through our lifespan, they can change. So we'll explain it a little bit more to make it sort of clearer.
Yeah.
But so they're these six core needs that we have by virtue of being human.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter, you know, Tony Robbins explains, it doesn't matter if you're living in the outback or if you're living in the big metropolitan cities, it doesn't matter if you're educated or illiterate, doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, doesn't matter
our culture,
doesn't matter if you're male or female, or, you know, whatever.
They're core needs.
By nature of being human.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I must say, this understanding these, I mean, it made so much sense when, you know, I learned about this for the first time.
Same.
And understanding them has really, actually, like, really given me strategies and tools to live brave, strong and fulfilled.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, when a couple of things really stood out to me when I was learning about these needs, and it was fascinating to understand that we fill these needs, whether we aim to fill them, we know about it consciously or unconsciously, we fill those needs by being human.
Absolutely. So should we jump in and just explain a little bit more about what they are?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Hopefully our listeners can make sense of hopefully we do it justice. Tony Robbins, we hope we're teaching this well. So do you remember what the six core needs are? I mean, we've spoken about the one, like connection, love and connection. We're all wired for love and connection. Human beings were not created to be solitary and, you know, isolated at all.
No, that's true. And then the sort of the need that sort of goes opposite that one is significance.
Yeah.
Right? So we all have a need for significance.
Yeah. So a need and significance can be sort of relevance or importance, or to know that we have value and worth. Yeah. And I think we all need to feel that our life has gravitas and has, you know,
impact. Some sort of purpose. And
Not
just for ourselves, but for those around us.
Yeah, which actually leads to the third need we can talk about is the need to contribute. Yes. So, you know, we might be filled with purpose, but it can't just be for us as an individual. We are wired to want to add value and make a difference to our world and to contribute. And the other need that went alongside of the contribution piece was the need for growth. So learning is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why so many people will say that they feel like they're lifelong learners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's completely normal because it's a need.
It is a need.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was thinking, okay, a need that I know for often comes up in my life is the need for variety.
I love that you say that because I thought you were going to...
What was I going to say?
I thought you were going to say certainty. because we need certainty, but absolutely we also need variety.
Yeah.
And I was sharing 2 weeks ago about our trip to Spain with my girlfriends, and that was wonderful variety. You know, holidays, that's why we get to a point in life where we feel, gosh, I just need a holiday, or I need to change things up a bit. And if there's no variety in life would be pretty boring.
Yeah, it'd be a bit grey.
Variety and colour.
Yeah, and then the opposite, well, not the opposite, but the one that it works with is...
certainty.
Like you said, is certainty.
Yeah.
Yeah, the need to know... Yeah. What's next?
Certainty is a huge one, and you know, other languaging around that is a need for safety, a need for control.
Control.
You know, I often hear clients say, "Oh gosh, you know, I'm just I like being in control, and I like knowing what's coming, and I don't like surprises."
Yes.
So if that sounds familiar, then it comes down to that basic need for certainty.
Yeah. And I think. We often, you sort of touched on it before, we have some of those needs are more important in different seasons of our life.
Yeah. So, you know, I think often, so I remember when when I first started coaching training and I was first reading all about this, you know, what really stood out for me was I recognized how much uncertainty I had in my world at that time.
Right.
You know, and uncertainty is like variety. And one of the big things was that we were still... on a visa, actually, living in Australia, feeling incredibly fortunate to be living in Australia.
Yeah.
But we weren't yet permanent residents, and we certainly weren't citizens, which so glad we are now. And we were moving quite frequently with hubby's work on our visa to be able to forge a life for our family in Australia. And so within that whole space I was in at that time, there was so much uncertainty. So I craved certainty.
Right.
And I had this massive need for safety and control, and, you know, it didn't always bring out the best in me. And now that we're actually citizens and, you know, there's a lot more certainty in my life.
Sure.
I actually need more variety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And because otherwise, I mean, I didn't realize that. I remember I was talking with my children one time and we're talking about being bored. And I said, I never get bored. And they're like, Mom, you get bored all the time. And I was like, huh. Like they're like, you don't sit and watch a whole movie very easily. You don't like to keep playing games. Like they were just very aware that I love variety. And I hadn't really noticed it until they brought it to my attention. I was like, I like to be doing different things. And I think at different seasons in my life, it has brought refreshment.
Yeah.
Like chopping my hair off.
Yeah, and it looks fabulous, by the way.
I haven't told my husband yet. But, you know, it just, it brings a different level of refreshment. I like variety in my life.
Talking about that, though, Ali and I, just a funny story, we share the same hairdresser, which we only recently found out. And now that I'm moving, don't you just hate the variety of having to get a new hairdresser? I mean, that's one thing where I like certainty. And Faith is just beautiful, isn't
she
it?
Our hairdresser. She's so world's best head massages ever.
Ever, absolutely. And, you know, world's best haircuts and colours, the whole caboodle.
So you're going to have a whole heap of uncertainty as you transition. And, I wonder how that's going to, that journey's going to look like for you
I think coming back to these needs, and this is why it's helpful to understand them, because I know now, I'm aware now, that especially going through transition when there is a whole lot of variety and uncertainty, that I am aware that, you know, it's helpful for me to be intentional about remembering, okay, so what are the things that are certain? Because we need a balance, right? And we need both. So there are certain things in my life that I can keep as certain things. For example, routines. So if I just know, okay, well, in this next season, routines are going to be important for me because that creates certainty. Healthy eating can be a certainty, and I can choose that. My prayer life can be a certainty, and I can choose that. So in the midst of transition and uncertainty, I can still create and choose and pay attention to certain things that are certain.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that you've thought about all of those.
Well, 10 years ago, I didn't have a clue because I just didn't know that we had these core needs. So
what happens if we don't know, if we've got these needs and it's from the very existence of being human and we have these needs, if we don't know about them, how are we meeting our needs? Like, what happens?
Yeah, and this is a big I've got a whole lot of conversations to have when I get to heaven one day, and this is one of them, because it just seems like human nature is that if we don't know what these needs are and if we're not intentional, we seem to default to pretty unhelpful ways of meeting these needs.
I remember reading something, what was it about, it's like the needs are like a vacuum and we fill them.
Yeah, and if we're not aware of them, we fill them. The word used in by Tony Robbins, I love this word, we fill them unresourcefully.
Unresourcefully.
So, you know, if you're listening to this, this is not a conversation that's judging it all around right and wrong and good and bad. Mm-hmm. It's just, how are we meeting these needs? Mm-hmm. And is this resourceful?
Yeah.
Is it helpful? Or is it unresourceful?
Yeah.
So as an example, one of the ways we can meet the need for certainty is, I'm just trying to think now.
Like control or?
Perfectionism.
Yeah.
You know, setting ourselves this sort of need to do things right and do things perfectly, because that gives us a sense of control. Yeah. And so, but how resourceful is that?
Yeah.
And we all know that perfectionism is not always the most resourceful way of living.
Yeah.
And so it's not saying that it's wrong and that you shouldn't do it or that it's bad. Yeah. You know, he lists, which was very helpful in the training that we did, is he lists a whole lot of potential ways that we meet these needs. Mm-hmm. And some of the unresourceful ways are clearly like they're not great.
Yeah.
You know, things like pornography and addictions and that kind of thing can meet the need for certainty.
Yeah.
And how resourceful are they? Well, not very resourceful. Mm-hmm. So it's helpful on the one hand to actually know what these needs are, and then it's also helpful to have ideas of what it looks like to meet them resourcefully in a healthy way. And whatever that looks like for you, because what you need that to look like and what I need that to look like could be very different things. And so when we have this awareness and we know what healthy looks like, then we can be intentional.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we can catch ourselves if we notice something that's not it's working for us because it's meeting that need, but we recognize, oh, that's not a healthy way to do it. We can actually start to go, well, what is a healthy way? So variety is something that we often, you know, people can meet the need for variety in ways that are incredibly unresourceful.
Yeah.
But if we know that we can be intentional in choosing things that are variety in our life, like if, you know, we like going on adventures or whatever, then we intentionally schedule those into our, so we don't fall into the trap of meeting that need. Because what there's that saying, needs trump values.
Yeah.
So we spoke, you know, a few weeks ago now about the importance of knowing our values. And if we will live happy, fulfilled lives when we live in alignment with our values.
Yeah.
But we also can know that our needs, these six core needs that we're talking about that we fill, whether we know it or not, we meet those needs actually trump and we live according to our needs and they trump our values.
Yeah.
So then it could be crisis, you know, we're butting heads with our needs and our values.
It's when you wake up one day and you think, I can't believe I just did that. Or, you know, like let's say, for example, you don't value, you know, gossiping is not a value.
Okay.
But then you find yourself gossiping all the time and you think, gosh, why do I keep gossiping? I don't want to. I don't like that about myself. I don't want to. But you just seem.
But I keep doing it.
Just, and then it's probably because it's meeting the need. And it could be that that meets a need for significance, because you might feel like what you know is significant, or it might even meet the need for connection, because it gives you common ground to connect.
Have a chat with somebody.
Yeah. Mm. You know, so if you understand what your values are and that's not one of your values, then you can choose to still connect. So you still meet the need, but in a way that sits, more helpful. Sits much better on the inside of you.
And live a happy, more fulfilled life in alignment with your values.
One of the things I've just been remembering now in this conversation that was really confronting to me is that sometimes there are certain behaviors that don't only meet one need, they meet a couple of needs.
Okay.
And the one is busyness.
Mm.
You know, I, at a stage in my life, was really addicted to being busy.
Right.
Because so long as I was busy, that gave me a need of a sort of a sense of certainty, you know, and a sense of sort of safety. Well, I must, you know, be doing things right or doing something because I'm busy.
Because I'm busy.
It's like
got
people
no time.
Ask you, so how are you going? Oh, no, busy. Very, very, very busy. And, you know, it meets the need for significance because you kind of feel important being busy. It meets the need for contribution because in your busyness you feel like you're, you know, contributing to everybody else. And I'm not saying busy is bad.
No.
But it's when does busy become unhealthy or unresourceful? Or when, you know, like when I'm working with clients and people say to me, you know, when we're talking about, well, what do you want from life? You know, what do you want more of? And someone says, oh, I want to slow down and I don't want to be as busy.
Yes.
Then it's very helpful to recognize that, hang on a minute, busyness might be meeting all these needs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't, if you no longer want to be so busy and you want something to change, that's the other thing. You can't just stop busy. You need to swap
it out.
Swap those needs and find different ways to meet those needs and then you'll be able to let go of the busy.
Yeah, so that gives us somewhere to start, doesn't it? We can start to look at options of what we can do to fill that need.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen overnight. We don't just go, oh, busyness is meeting all those needs and swap it out straight away. Like it takes practice.
Oh,
it takes an awareness.
Yeah.
It takes – and then you might be weeks down the track and go, oh, I'm still saying I'm really busy. So,
absolutely. So it is. It's a journey. You know, all of these is a journey and it's not a journey of judgment.
No.
It's a journey of regularly pausing to ask and just reflecting. You know, my life right now am I happy? Am I fulfilled? Is the life I'm living like I want it to be?
Yeah.
Or is there something I want that's different?
Yeah.
And quite often, if you want different, but a month down the line you realize nothing's changed, a really good place is to go back to these six core needs.
Yeah.
Because it's likely that whatever it is you want to change is
meeting
one of these needs.
Yeah. So do you think in the notes of this podcast we could put in some information, a link around these core needs for people to go and have a look in more detail?
Oh, absolutely.
These?
I've got quite significant
resources
around six core needs. So,
just so we've got somewhere. So this is something that I – you know, it's often a first place to start, or one of the early places to start when we're working with a client is to look at our needs.
Yeah.
And it's a great – so, you know, I've got an A4 sheet where you look at and you can see all of the needs and typical behaviours that are unhealthy or healthy, so that we can begin to become aware of
where
we're sitting.
Yeah, it's a fabulous awareness piece, yeah. And it's not a judgment piece, it's an awareness. Piece. Because I love the saying, you can't change what you're not aware of, right? No. Yeah.
No, you absolutely can't.
And it's such a, you know, so often using this tool and for clients, when working with clients and we unpack the six core needs, it's one of those pieces where you see like these light bulbs.
I remember it happening to me. I was like, oh, I see.
Yeah. Right. You know what happened? My big light bulb with this was all around significance. So I realized that probably of all the six needs, that was the one I was meeting unresourcefully at the time. And I'll never forget this. It was early in the coaching days. I didn't realize, but I was meeting my need for significance through performance.
Yeah, right.
So long as I was performing, I felt significant. Mm. So, you know, I grew up at school. If I did well in my school reports, then I felt significant. If I achieved in whatever sporting things, then that was significance, you know. And even with you know, performance around people and people pleasing, you know, it was performing and that was tied up to significance. And I remember having a coaching session and my coach said, oh, so would you say significance and performance, you know, are the same? And I'm like, yeah, of course they're the same. And he just like looked at me and then I thought, oh,
hang on a sec.
And then even the awareness of, my goodness me, what potentially could significance look like if it's not about
performance?
Yeah. And that was a massive shift. And it's just, you know, I'm so grateful for that conversation because, and you, as you say, it's not an overnight thing. It's not like flicking a switch and suddenly.
suddenly you've got it all worked out and you're meeting that need in a healthy way.
Yeah. So, but I mean, even being aware and figuring out, so what could healthy look like or what could different look like?
Yeah.
And exploring that and trying different things on, you know, that's where the actual change happens.
That's right. And by meeting all of these needs in healthy, sort of resourceful ways, that's what leads to happy, fulfilled life.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. And it is gold, and it's exciting also when you see clients have done the work on their values and they're now unpacking their needs. And then you see the puzzle pieces fit together.
Yeah.
And they go, hang on a minute, like, you know, how I want to choose to meet these needs, it lines up with my values. And that's gold.
It is gold.
Yeah.
Magic.
Yeah. Yeah, love so it. If you are find this topic fascinating and you want to know more, I actually have a whole course online around find. It's called Finding You. It's in my portal, so we'll add a link to the show notes.
Great, thanks, Kat.
It is a paid course. It's not expensive though, and it's got little notes for you to download and questions for you to fill in to help you work out your needs and be more aware of
how you're meeting them
and how you can meet them.
Great, love
so
it.
We'd love to hear your feedback also. If you have any feedback for us, just send us a message and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, and don't forget to follow us.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the chat today, Kath, and have a fabulous week.
You too, Ali.
All right, catch ya.
Cheers.